today we're going to be dealing with why is America so fat? And I've got Ben Kennedy, who is the author here, but I've got to fess up. I'm sitting here, and today is Thursday, which I'm doing my taping, and it's the start of our Wisconsin State Fair. And I have got about 6 or 8 cream puffs sitting in front of me. And so, as well as I'm now doing the author and looking at this book, Why is America So Fat? There's so many temptations around. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Ben Kennedy. Why is America so fat? And one of the things that he says is that he has a revealing account of how the pharmaceutical industry places their profits before the health of people. And as we know, I could probably do this show on Saturday because certainly there is a lot of money being invested and spent on trying to get healthy, trying to get rid of fat, and trying to figure it out. So with that, we'll be right back. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, president of the Ellenbecker Investment Group. My guest today is author Ben Kennedy. The book is Why is America So Fat? Welcome to the show, Ben.
Thank you, Karen. I appreciate you having me.
You know, Ben, it's true. I'm sitting here, and there's all these cream puffs. And it's kind of like there's so many things that that are always literally in our face that take us away from being healthy. And I always tell people, as far as with money, there's no real magic to having money. You spend less than you make. And there's kind of a parallel there with food. It's just eat less than you need, you know. And yet it's hard.
Well, you're right. In order to lose weight, you actually have to burn more calories than you take in a day. It is that simple. The problem is that there's a lot that affects that. And just like in business, in order to make good decisions, whether you're buying stock, whether you're running a company, you have to have all the information. And I think one of the problems that's keeping so many people fat in this country is that they're not getting all the key information that they need to be able to make the right decisions to be able to lose weight.
Well, the thing that I see is that everybody talks about wanting to lose weight, and I know that I've struggled with it my whole life. And we all have a different idea of what to do. And, you know, some people look at just the, I think what I'll do is eat less. But most people look for some magic. You know, they look for medicine or pills or all the different things that people talk about that are going to help you lose weight. And I even think of all the medications that you see on TV. There has to be some kind of an impact on people, all the stuff that we're taking.
Well, and that's it. And the information I was talking about that so many people don't know is that a lot of those medications that you see heavily advertised actually have weight gain as a side effect. And, you know, I just wonder how many people would, you know, at least start asking questions their doctor, hey, wait a minute, you know, I'm 40, I'm 50 pounds overweight, which is causing me to have high cholesterol, and you're putting me on a cholesterol medication that's actually making me gain more weight. You know, how is that helping me?
Why do you think people are really so fat? I mean, is it, you know, the fast foods that we're eating, and is it the different way? Is it all the pharmaceutical things that you're talking about? I mean, why are people so fat in comparison to past history?
Well, to be honest with you, I really think it boils down to money. I think that there are big companies, especially the pharmaceutical companies in this country, that are just making huge amounts of money because people are overweight. The problems that are caused, the health problems that are caused by being overweight include things like diabetes, which, you know, that alone is about $200 billion a year in health costs. Then you have things like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, even things like just carpal tunnel syndrome are related to being overweight. And the health industry is making huge amounts of money. So are they really that motivated to help people to lose weight? I don't think that they are.
So really what you're saying is that do you believe that the government and that the drug companies actually are aware of these side effects or aware of some of the things that are happening? Because I hadn't thought about it before, but I've talked to several different people, and they've said, well, I'm on this drug, and it makes me gain weight.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's kind of how I got the whole premise for writing this book, was I had the same experience with people who were trying to lose weight, and they were doing the right things. They had improved their diet. They weren't eating a lot of fast food. They were eating good, healthy food. They were spending 6-7 days a week exercising, and yet they were gaining weight. So then I would talk to them and say, well, what else, you know, about your lifestyle is there that, you know, might be causing you to not be able to lose weight? Then they'd start telling me, well, you know, I'm taking this drug, and, you know, I really noticed when I started taking it, it seemed like it made me gain a lot of weight. So then we got a hold of a physician's desk reference and looked in there, and sure enough, weight gain is a side effect. So of course they know. The real question is it intentional? And I think there's enough evidence now from what I've seen that, yes, it is intentional from these big companies. They want people to stay overweight so that they can continue to make these exorbitant amounts of money.
You know, Ben, one of the things that scares me, and I might be jumpy a little bit, is, you know, the obesity in children. And, again, there's another problem. And I have one granddaughter who is just a stick, slim as can be, and I have another one that's more pudgy and a little bit fuller figure, as I call it. And she eats the same thing as my other granddaughter. And I keep saying, well, you know, it's metabolism. But I know some of the things in your book, you know, you say that those are kind of the old things that people talk about, but not to just be dependent on that, that there could be something else to look for. But it's hard to think of, what do you look for in a kid? I mean, she isn't taking any medicine.
Well, and then that's at least one thing you don't have to worry about. Unfortunately, you know, there are a lot of kids who are taking medication today that weren't, say, back in the 70s. I grew up in the 70s, and the diet really wasn't that much different. That's kind of why I don't think that that's a major factor. I mean, there was a fast food restaurant on every corner in the 70s, just like there was today. And both my parents worked, so I wasn't getting this great home-cooked meal every night. Mm-hmm. And But I never did take a lot of medication, but I also did exercise. And I think it is important to try to eat healthy and exercise. I certainly don't want to dismiss that as factors. I just don't think those are the factors that are causing people to be so overweight when we have such an obesity epidemic like we do today.
Mm-hmm. What do you think in terms of, you've mentioned a lot about the government and about kind of being a political stance on here. How did health become? I mean, that type of thing becomes such a big issue.
Well,
like you said, when you grew up, we didn't hear a lot about it, but all of a sudden now it's everywhere, and especially with childhood obesity. And I mean, we have fat little kids. We're going to have fat big people.
Exactly. It's going to be even worse.
Right.
Well, I think anytime you have a lot of money in anything, that's where politics becomes involved. Unfortunately, that is a history throughout the political history of this country. Whenever people are making huge amounts of money in certain industries, they have the ability and the potential to try to influence politicians to do what they want. And I think what I covered in my book was the ban on ephedra weight loss products. And that was a clear case where the pharmaceutical industry used their political leverage to basically eliminate viable weight loss products that people were using to lose weight.
Mm-hmm. Some of that, if I read it correctly, is in some traditional cold medicines and other things as well.
Well, and that's what really proves that it was political and it wasn't about safety. Of course, you know, they claim that they banned ephedra weight loss products because they were unsafe for people to use. But if they were unsafe, then why are there still all these cold and flu medications with the exact same ingredient in them, and they say that those are safe? I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, one of the things, I have several physicians that are clients, and we've had the conversation where practicing medicine is so different because of all the drugs that people can see on TV, and they don't really exactly tell you what they're for. They just show you happy, healthy, doing things that you may not have ever done when you were young and really healthy. And people walk in the office and say, I want that. I mean, I want this drug. And it almost is that if they don't get it for you, they're going to get it somewhere else. They're looking for quick fixes. And I really, you know, I think some of those, the side effects, you know, you're talking about our weight gain, and yet people are so, they want it immediate. They want something to happen now, and I'm thinking that most of the physicians are even having trouble controlling their patients in terms of them prescribing themselves.
Right. Well, and there's been a lot of criticism from places like Harvard Medical School that there should be no advertising for prescription medications. You know, that completely takes away the whole therapeutic process where a doctor makes a diagnosis on what is best for the patient, and you know, that is the way they proceed. You know, just because a patient wants something doesn't mean it's what's best for them. Now, my biggest criticism is that it doesn't seem like there's any other alternatives. It's either, you know, they go on this prescription medication or they don't use anything. I think it's time for doctors to start trying to really do what is best for the patient. And in some cases, that may be just improving the diet, or it may be using some type of natural product. A great example of where the pharmaceutical is the only people that seem to benefit is the drug Prozac. Prozac is heavily prescribed. They've made billions of dollars from it for treating people with depression, and yet Harvard Medical School has shown in several research studies that just plain old fish oil, which you can get from eating a high diet in fish, is just as effective for treating the serious psychiatric illness bipolar disorder. So why aren't more physicians, you know, telling their patients, hey, just go either eat more fish or go buy a $5 supplement at a health food store of fish oil?
Well, that's a that's very curious, because I know that you also talk about the drug you mentioned earlier. Is it called ephedra?
Well, yes, ephedra.
And that's another drug that.
Well, actually, it's not a drug. That was kind of part of the problem. It's ephedra, as far as what was banned, is naturally occurring ingredient that was called mahuang in most of the products, which has been around for like 4,000 years. Now, I have a problem when something has been on this earth for 4,000 years and people have used it, and suddenly they say, oh, well, it's no longer safe for people to use. Now, I think that when you're talking about drugs, a drug is something that's created in a laboratory, and we have no idea what's going to happen when somebody uses a new drug. So they should test it, and they should, you know, undergo a certain amount of scrutiny before the population is allowed to use it. But natural stuff, again, it's been here for 4,000 years. If it was safe for the Chinese to use 4,000 years ago, why would it suddenly be unsafe for us to use today?
So that is what you're doing there, is making a comparison, like that's a product that you could use, like the castor oil. You could use something like this instead of doing some other drugs.
Sure, there's all kinds of examples of natural things. And again, you know, fish oil, you can't even really say that's a supplement. That's just food. And I think a lot of health problems that people have, it comes down to having poor nutrition. So instead of solving the problem and helping people to have better nutrition, what do? They go to the doctor and they're just given a drug. And as we've talked about, it has all these other side effects, so it really doesn't help them in the long run. The only people that seem to benefit are these big companies that are making these exorbitant profits selling the drugs.
My guest today is author Ben Kennedy. His book is Why Is America So Fat? We're going to take a quick break, and let's come back and look at if this is happening, and this is so fascinating to me to read your book, and if the government is really aware of this, what can people as a citizen do to either protect themselves or maybe to create a change? And with that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, president of the Ellenbecker Investment Group, and we're located in Elm Grove. If you'd like to know more about us, go to www.ellenbecker.com, or in addition to that, you can give us a call at 262-938-9060. My guest today is author Ben Kennedy, and he's written the book, Why Is America So Fat? You know, Ben, the interesting thing, I, about a year ago, actually it's almost 2 years ago, decided that I just really going to be 55 years old, and it was time that maybe I really start thinking about getting in shape. I wanted to live a long time, and I started with one program of exercise that was so strenuous, it burnt me out, and I quit before 6 months were over. And then I kind of lapsed for a while, and then I started another program of exercise that was really more geared towards my body and to becoming healthy, and that really has psychologically helped me, and I've started to look at, you know, the different foods. I've tried to really monitor what works and what doesn't work, and it never occurred to me that I had something kind of outside of myself potentially maybe being a hazard for me. And I'm not a huge drug taker, but, you know, I'm struggling with a cold right now, and, you know, the first thing I think about is, well, what's a cold medicine that I might take? And it doesn't even occur to me that that could be really working against my best benefit.
Well, and here's, again, you know, what can be done, you know, to help people have healthier lives? Well, I think the biggest key is just to have knowledge and information. And you can ask any doctor, and if they're honest, they'll tell you they do not have a cure for the common cold or the, you know, the plain old flu. So why is it that they're giving people medication for it? It's not going to cure it. So, you know, it's just really a waste. Now, I haven't had the flu since 1999. A lot of people find that hard to believe, but I take a lot of vitamins. I eat, you know, pretty good food, although, to be honest, I don't have a perfect diet. I don't know that anybody in today's world really has the time to have a perfect diet. You would have to, you know, buy whole grain foods and do a lot of cooking. I'm sure it could be done, but what I do is I eat, you know, as good as I possibly can. I try to make sure I have at least one really good meal a day. But I supplement by taking a lot of vitamins, especially things like vitamin C and just basic stuff, and I don't ever seem to get sick.
Before the break, we talked about, and that's almost a lead into it, we talked about what can you do as a consumer if you're really up against, I guess it's the government or the drug companies who have so much clout and influence. I mean, how can you protect yourself, or even for myself, how can I take a different stand with my grandchildren to be able to help them have a better quality of life?
Well, I think that is a good lead, and I think people need to take control of their own lives. They need to understand, and again, this is America, where we're supposed to have the freedom to care for ourselves, and it's one of the motivations for writing this book, is I think that these big companies are trying to work through the government to take away our right to care for our own bodies. But if people don't, you know, assert that right and start asking doctors more questions, start doing more research on the internet, because a lot of the research studies that I quoted in the book are available to anybody through the National Institute of Health, and you can go there and read these research studies about all these natural products that places like Harvard Medical School, which is the most prestigious university maybe in the whole world, have done, and show that these natural products work better than a lot of these drugs. So that's the key to me, is just to, you know, take the responsibility for yourself and then search out the right information and make your own decisions.
You know, we've been very fortunate. In the last year, we went into partnership with the Wisconsin Athletic Club and Frederick Hospital, and they are a medical college as well, Frederick Medical College. And we've really taken a look at stress and exercise, and believing, you know, financial fitness and physical fitness go hand in hand. But I can tell you, when I sit down, Ben, and we want to do programs, and we want to sit down and initiate something for people, they're kind of lazy. they it's almost too much work. People tend to do something when there's a crisis. You know, they get sick and then they want to take a look at it rather than being proactive. And it's almost where people just really don't want to look at this. They're so busy, maybe it is.
Well, I think it needs to be presented from the same type of way. You know, who really wants to get up and work a job every day? But yet, most of us do. But we do that because there's positive benefits and rewards that we receive from working. You know, the main thing is we get money to be able to, you know, support our quality of life. I think if people would look at their health in the same way and start realizing, look, I need to make an investment. You know, a couple hundred dollars of taking a multivitamin a year, to me, is the greatest investment you can ever make. And I know you have a business show, and I make quite a few investments myself in the stock market and in business. I consider the greatest investment every year is the vitamins I take, because they're so inexpensive, and they've been shown to help people live better. You don't get sick. So I feel like they help me earn more money every year, because I'm not having to go to the doctor and spend the money. I'm not having to waste the time sitting in the doctor's office. I'm able to work all the time. So, again, that's, to me, is a reward and a direct return on a small investment.
You know, it's so funny that you say that, Ben, because I'm 55 years old, and I've certainly gone to a lot of doctors. I don't think I've ever had a doctor ask me if I take vitamins.
Well, and see, that makes no sense to me, because, again, you know, one doctor's office, you can easily spend a couple hundred dollars just on his fee, but by the time you have to buy prescription drugs, and, you know, time is money. If you have to spend an hour waiting in a doctor's office, you know, what is that worth to you? So you're talking about several hundred dollars just to go see a doctor, and yet, again, like I say, you can buy a pretty good multivitamin for a year for a couple hundred dollars.
You know, Ben, I know that you have a health food store, and that one of the things that you talk a lot about is a healthy living and a more natural type of a lifestyle. But you think, I mean, many of my very good friends are doctors, and they're certainly very caring people. Do you think that it's just that they don't have an awareness, or that using some of the more holistic or natural types of things for people to try, like a castor oil or the ephedra that you were talking about, is it just that that they don't have the ability? Is there a risk? Why wouldn't they be looking at that?
I think it's a combination of factors. Most of the medical schools do not teach doctors about natural alternatives. All they teach them about is the pharmaceutical approach and surgery. And really, that was a change that took place in the American educational system back in, I think it was the 1930s, by a guy named Abraham Flexner. He used a lot of Rockefeller money through the Rockefeller charities, and he went around these medical schools and said, look, if you change your teaching approach to what is considered a more European approach, which is all about surgery and pharmaceuticals, then we'll give you this money. So guess what? Most of the medical schools took the money, and that's where the change took place. Because before that time, it was much more a homeopathic approach, where it was about healing and prevention. So we've gotten away from that, and I just don't see that it's really doing most people a lot of good. And again, a great example is all these overweight people walking around. They're obviously not helping people to lose weight.
I know that I spoke with a friend at one point, and we talked about some things that she was taking, and her physician had asked her what different medications she was taking, because some of the natural herbal types of things can be a negative when combined with some of the traditional medications. So do you suggest that people work with someone like yourself? How does someone know that they're not making a bigger problem by adding things that they don't know how everything works together?
Well, you know, and that's a claim that a lot of doctors make, although I've never seen much evidence that that is the case. It's usually the prescription drugs are the ones that cause the problems. But I think you have to look at what if you really want to know the truth, look at the research studies. You know, again, they're done at places like Harvard Medical School. And if Harvard Medical School is saying that simple fish oil works better than Prozac for serious psychiatric illness, well, I think I'm going to go with what Harvard Medical School says. And the other side of it is, you know, nobody makes anybody do anything with their body. I personally am a little offended when doctors try to play God and tell me what I'm supposed to do with my body. What I want them to do is give me the information and allow me to make the decision on what is best for my body. Just like you said earlier, Karen, about you having to find the right exercise program for you. I think a lot of times we all have different bodies and different needs, and we have to find the best therapeutic approach for what our body needs. And just going to the doctor and getting the exact same drug that another million people are using, I don't think that's very individualized.
What are some of the things, Ben, that you recommend to people you work with? I guess, you know, what we're talking about really is, you know, being overweight, but some of the things that people can do maybe that are more natural products.
Well, and it doesn't even have to be natural products when you talk about losing weight. The biggest advice I always try to give people is, you know, don't look at things in terms of a diet. Try to find foods that you like to eat. Like, I like fish. Fish is very low in fat. It's high in protein. So a lot of people that are on the low-carb diets like the fish. And again, it contains fish oil, which has been proven to be very good for the brain. There's a lot of positives to eating this type of food. But there's plenty of other examples. The other thing is a high-fiber diet has been shown to help people lose body fat and stay lean. And that's a problem that we've seen in the manufacturing process, and it didn't make a lot of sense that they would take the fiber out of these foods, because that is a difference in the food supply, say, 100 years ago. Usually it was all whole grains. And the difference is, you know, when you get a piece of bread, if it's white, then it's got the fiber taken out of it. Generally, if it's got a darker color, then it's a whole grain, and it has fiber. Fiber is a substance that your body can't absorb. It basically just passes through you. So it helps you go to the toilet more, but on its way out, it seems to actually absorb some fat and take it with it. So again, that's just a simple thing that people can do. The other side is lifting weights, even if it's just lightweight a couple times a week, seems to have a major impact on people being able to maintain low body fat.
We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we'll look at some of the other issues and some of the things that Ben, our author today of Why is America So Fat, recommends in the book. And with that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, president of the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And every week we do a little tip of the day, and so today's tip is brought to you by the Wisconsin Athletic Club, Small Stone, and Alexian Village of Milwaukee. My guest is Ben Kennedy, and he is the author of Why is America So Fat? And I believe, Ben, you can get the book just about anywhere.
Well, it's available at the usual locations online, like Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com. We do have a special deal at my own website, which is whyisamericasofat.com. If your listeners will type in vitamin in the coupon code, they'll get a free multivitamin along with the book.
Ah, that sounds great. And again, that's whyisamericasofat.com?
That is correct.
Perfect. Okay. And if you could give us a tip today, Ben, and really what it is just something from your heart that might help people kind of take action, an action step to make a difference in their life.
Sure, and you know, I generally want to help people to lose weight. I know my book discusses some political issues, and I think people have to have the right information in order to lose weight. But to make things as simple as possible, if you want to have a lean, healthy body, eat a high-fiber diet and lift weights from time to time, and it'll make things a whole lot easier.
In your book, and we have just a few minutes left, you do mention some of the things that people should be aware of, the drugs that they're taking. And can you give us some ideas as people are listening, how can they be triggered to know? I mean, I know, look at the box, look at the container, but that's often hard. Half the time I can't read it.
I think the best thing to do is actually ask the doctor when he prescribes you something, say, hey, is this going to make me gain weight? If he gets kind of a blank stare in his face, you know, you may want to question why he's actually giving you the drug in the first place. But he should be able to tell you what the side effects are. And at the very least, he's got a physician's desk reference, which is the book that lists all the side effects. And you can look in there and see if the drug is going to cause weight gain.
When you are talking to individuals, and it sounds as if you're doing a lot of seminars and you're talking a lot to people, what are the common things that people ask about? What are some of the questions that people are bringing to you to help them to be more clarified in this whole issue? Because it is almost overwhelming.
Well, the biggest shock to people, again, is that they may be taking some type of prescription drug that is supposed to actually help them be healthier, and yet it's making them gain weight. And most of the time, like, well, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I know it's hard for people to, you know, believe that maybe their healthcare provider doesn't have their best interest at heart. But when you look at the evidence that, hey, you know, how is gaining weight can actually make me healthier? And you have to come to the conclusion, well, you know, maybe this isn't the best treatment approach. And again, it comes down to taking control of your own health and saying, look, I want what's best for me. Now, you tell me, you know, if taking this drug is really what's going to help me in the long run, because I need to lose weight and I also need to, you know, lower my cholesterol and blood pressure and everything else. And, you know, it's been proven again in research that diet and exercise alone can usually solve those kind of problems.
When I'm almost trying to think in terms of, I know that you've been very politically involved. Is there, you don't see a lot of this type of thing talked about. I mean, it's certainly not on anyone's platform this year.
Well,
talk about the high cost of prescription drugs. This doesn't seem to catch the attention of anyone.
Right. They don't seem to start saying, well, wait a minute, do people really need to be taking these drugs in the first place? I know that is a frustration. Now, actually, I think there has been some criticism of Bush and his family ties to the pharmaceutical industry. But unfortunately, most of these big industries aren't stupid. They usually donate enough money to both sides, and they don't really care who wins. So that's, again, the thing. There's not a lot of political motivation because there's a lot of money coming from the healthcare industry and the pharmaceutical industry to both candidates.
Well, I guess, you know, I'm just going to throw in, based on that, also a little tip of the day for me. And one of the things that I've really been working hard with my clients is to sort of fill out a budget so that we can kind of get an idea of where my clients are at in terms of retirement, all the different things. And it's amazing what you learn by doing a budget. And I would really recommend that people sit down and take an inventory of their health. And try and get a handle on the different things, the medications that they're taking. Do a personal, you know, health budget as such. And I think that people would be surprised at the amount of over-the-counter drugs that they just take without even recognizing how that ends up. And then to start really looking at what ultimately they want to accomplish with their life. One of the things, Ben, that really makes me very sad is how many times I have clients I work with for a very long time, a lifetime it seems like to me, and then they get sick or they die in retirement. And I think that there are a lot of things that we need to do to be proactive, just like we're proactive in most of the other things about our life.
Well, and you're exactly right, Karen. I mean, the most important possession that you have in this world is your own body. And, you know, if it quits functioning, you're done. It doesn't really how much money you have in the bank, you know, it's not going to do you any good when your body is at an end.
Yeah, and I think all of us at one time or another, just getting the flu, it's amazing how quickly things can turn on you. My guest today is author Ben Kennedy. He has written the book, Why is America So Fat? in most of the bookstores. There's a special deal if you eat, I guess if you get on his web, which is whyisamericasofat.com, hit vitamin box, and you'll get some free vitamins along with that. And I want to thank you very much, Dan. It was a great show.
Oh, thank you, Karen. I enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you. And I'm going to get rid of these cream puffs that are sitting in front of me from our state fair. And with that, as always, I hope that I've made a difference in your financial well-being and that I've given wings to your future. See you next Saturday. Bye.